B-Pod Studios.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I've made your wait long enough. Here it is. Last night between 11:45 p.m. and midnight, the NFL draft in Boston did a 7-4.
That's pretty good.
That is stupid. What a number. 7-4.
Oh, we'll get there.
That is what they did.
Now, are you using the numbers provided by my television insider source here, Beetle? Using any of these numbers?
The numbers that you had this morning?
I provided some numbers.
No, we're going to use those today, though, as well.
All right.
Don't use them all up yet.
No.
Between the three networks combined, ABC, ESPN, NFL Network, all of them covering the draft at that time, combined, the NFL draft did a 7.4 preliminary household rating in Boston. Now, you want the breakdown of the networks? ABC had the highest number at 3.79.
Wow.
ESPN was second with 2.15, and NFL Network was third with 1.46. But it tells you, people were waiting up last night to see that pick and see who the Patriots were going to take with that pick. That is a big number. That's bigger than your average Bruins or Celtics regular season game, or, you know, that's
sure is
better than most Red Sox regular season games these days.
Yeah.
That's a good, good number for the NFL draft at 11:45 at night. So that just tells you the popularity of the league, the popularity of the draft, and people's interest in who the hell the Patriots were going to take in this particular draft.
And I'd like to say it was helped by the fact that the Bruins game went a little bit later. They had overtime and people were kind of up, but I managed to go night-night in between the end of the Bruins game and by the time the Patriots selected. So, no, I think it was just really people wanted to stay up and see it. So.
Speaking of the Bruins game, you were all watching last night on NBC Sports Network.
Yes.
Doc Emrick, of course, on the call. Maybe you were listening locally to Judd Surratt.
I
doubt that many of you were in Columbus last night listening to the Columbus call, and that's why we have it for you today.
All right. This is the introduction to the broadcast last night as they kind of get things going here. Blue Jackets Radio.
14th biggest city in America.
Gotcha. So it's a big market broadcast.
It's time to put on your jackets.
Time out.
Okay. Wow, it's minor league already.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Give me the name. Okay. I want his. Hold on.
I'll get him for you.
I want his name. I want his home phone number.
Email address.
I want to know the hotel he's staying at in Boston right now.
I don't know how many times he practiced this in the mirror. It is time.
It's time to put on your jackets. Tonight from TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts.
What about, is shorts not Boston, Florida? Or Boston, California? Where's the game? Live from Boston.
Now, at the end of the game.
Massachusetts.
So, at the end of the game, does he say, like, as you're, time to get ready for bed. Take off your pants and jacket. No, that wouldn't make sense. Hold on. You're going to. All right, let's continue.
The National Hockey League presents the Eastern Conference semifinal, game one of a best of seven series your Columbus Blue Jackets and the Boston Bruins.
We got a little.
Oh, do we have a whistler?
We got a whistler.
The National Hockey League presents the Eastern Conference semifinal, game one.
No, we don't.
Yes,
no,
yes we do.
Well, I can't tell because you keep
Dave
doing
O'Brien.
It on the top of it.
This is like Shut Dave.
Up.
Got Dave O'Brien here. Go ahead.
All right. Let's listen to the Dubinsky goal here that tied the game at one. As we all know, Noel Achari with a shorthander last night stayed that way forever. Dubinsky ties the game at one. And it sounded like this.
And on his knees as he fell down was Riley Nash. Got it to Jenner behind the net, off the boards. Here's Seth Jones, puts it in front, and there's a score! Standing between the circles, redirecting that shot was Riley Nash, and the Blue Jackets are on the board. They have just tied this game at one goal apiece. Take that and rewind it back.
No.
Take that and rewind it back. Little time got the key to make your booty go whack.
Take that and rewind it back.
No.
In a club with my homies.
No. Why? Why?
Take that and
rewind.
Just so you know, we just mixed that live. Jim was playing that. I played it here.
What a tool bag.
Oh, my God.
What an effing tool bag.
I can't wait to hear the one that happens.
I can't wait to go tomorrow night to find these guys. You're the guy.
Take that and rewind it back.
Oh, my.
Bob McElligott is the name.
Robert McElligott. Sarge wouldn't even do that.
Take that and rewind it back.
Pretty good call up until that point, though.
It was a really good play-by-play guy.
There's one thing I would never do, which is say a score. I would call it a goal, or about, he scores.
A score
is awkward.
I know what happened based on his call. It was pretty good.
Oh, absolutely.
He sounded like Mike Lang at getting everything.
By the way, Riley Nash, was he that good when he played here? He was pretty good last night.
He had some stretches where he was pretty good here.
He was pretty good. Yeah. He was real good last night. He was good. He had a good
game.
Take
that and rewind it back.
Decent ping pong player.
Take that and rewind it back.
All right.
Don't ever do that again.
13 seconds later, what do we get?
Well, we got the Dubois call, which sounded like he was very excited, tied at one.
Well, he should be.
Just moments later.
Here comes Dubois through the center circle into the Bruins end. Give him the Panarin, and he shoots and scores. Artemi Panarin buries it, and the Blue Jackets take a 2-1 lead. Oh, bake me a big loaf, bread man.
No. No, we're not going to do this. We're not.
Oh, bake me a big loaf, red man.
You freaking Mike Lang wannabe. Shave my face with a rusty razor.
Why is he the bread man?
I don't know.
Tom said Panera, maybe. No.
Is that?
He's got a little John Sterling in him.
Oh, Asiago, the cheese boy.
Asiago,
the cheese boy.
Oh, bake me a big loaf, bread man. Wow, did he ever bake you a big loaf there? What a shot by Artemi Panarin.
Oh, my God, you freaking tools.
They certainly put that thing in the oven, 350, for about 45 minutes and allowed it.
What market is this, the 14th?
You know who gave him the nickname?
Yeast activated.
Joel Quenneville gave him the nickname when he was in Chicago as a rookie.
Gave him what?
Panarin. Yeah. Got the nickname the bread man.
Doesn't mean you have to use it every highlight.
Wow, did he ever bake you a big loaf there? What a shot.
So if he ever does that.
It sounds like he's starting a nursery rhyme, doesn't it?
Bake me a big loaf, bread man.
And bring it to my house. Put it on the doorstep, away from the mouse.
Yeah.
I'll bring it inside and set it down to chill. And then when you show up, you're the face I'm going to kill. Go ahead, bake it, bread man.
Oh, bake me a big loaf, bread man.
Ew.
It's a shame. He's got the nuts and bolts of his call are good, and then he ruins it. It just gets ruined.
Take that and rewind it.
I think the caller guy would have said whatever the last thing the play-by-play guy said right back.
He's stunned.
It's like he just said the same thing right back to him.
Yeah, I know, which is really weird. I thought there was that weird silence there because he's just turned and stared at him for being such a loser, and he's not going to respond. But he's even a bigger loser because he allowed him the room to breathe to have the awful call, and then I'm going to top his awful call with his same awful call. I'll rewind it back in your face.
Take that and rewind it back.
Bread man.
He did gave him a loaf, bread man. to back to the
what happens bread when man. They lost? What happens there? Do we have that or no? I should work on that. Oh, man.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get the...
I want to know what these
we're
guys...
working on it. The archive didn't have it go back that far.
I want to know what happens when these guys sound sad, when this one announcer sounds sad. Bread man.
Take that.
I have the 2-2 goal, the coil to tie it up.
We'll take that. That's good. Exactly what we need.
Corey Krug, right wing pass. Behind Joachim Nordstrom. Across the ice. He goes, and a shot and a save made by Bobrovsky.
They're saying that was a goal
that went in and out. I was going to say, I don't know how he could have stopped it, and apparently he didn't.
That was out before it was in. That's how quick that shot came off of Charlie Coyle's stick. It was a backhand cross-zone pass.
Not bad.
Yeah, the confusion sort of doesn't help.
That was out before it was in.
Bake me a big loaf, bread man.
I will talk to Sean Grandy, Celtics, voice of the Celtics, that is. He'll be with us coming up next as we get ready for the series that will begin this coming weekend for the Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. That is on the way next. Don't go anywhere.
Take that and rewind it back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
They're much different with their skill and their benches. First of all, the starters with Lopez is a big difference. And then their bench, so smart, so savvy, such good shooting that it just fits. They can play all those guys in different roles together. So I think it's very different when you look at them versus last year.
I almost said AT&T. I almost said that. I'm going to take that back, if you don't mind.
Why don't you rewind it back?
I'm going to take that and rewind it back.
Yeah.
Pretend I didn't say it, and instead say the Volkswagen Dealers for Expert sure, Online.
I'll make the booty go whack.
Yes. It's Sean Grandy with us on the Volkswagen.
Take that and rewind it back.
Sean Grandy on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Sean. What's up?
There was a period of time when we first started doing the games on this particular radio station where when the Patriots would play, we'd be on three or four different stations.
Right.
The first year. So one of my jobs is, you know, when we go to break is you say the 98.5, the Sports Hub, Celtics Radio Network.
Sure.
But there was a period of time where we'd be on three or four different. So you had to remember in the course of a game which station you were on.
Right.
So it wasn't like a change of, and that was always it was like running an obstacle course. You were constantly trying to dart and remember as you went to break.
Well, you're a pro, so I'm sure you're able to handle it.
And it's also
unlike many of us.
It's also a cardinal sin to make fun of other play-by-play crews. But did you hear at all during the last segment how bad and how poor the Columbus Blue Jacket radio team is?
I didn't hear. It's very jarring. I know it's always jarring to the ears to hear a new play-by-play guy for the first time.
Sure. That's fair.
So that's going to be jarring to begin with. And then.
Well, new and cheesy are completely different. I mean.
Yeah. Everybody has a different style. Like if you play a John Sterling highlight of a Yankee home run in Boston, the reaction's going to be what the reaction's going to be. Whereas the John Sterling home run calls are beloved.
Legendary.
In New York. You know, there's a local national thing too, and then you don't want this is the time of year when the national guys come and take over. We were talking about this the other day, because obviously Mike and Tommy and Scal, those guys are all done now. I think, I'm not sure how it works with the Bruins. I think Jack Edwards and Brick, I think those guys are out now when you get to the second, I'm not sure. But when you get to the second round, and then people are just sort of like, have these national guys thrust upon them that they either like or don't like. And so people like what they like. They're, you know, you want your dinner served to you a certain way. You're used to it. And so it's always jarring this time of year.
Sean, as we get ready for this series, you just heard Brad Stevens. He mentioned Brook Lopez. How important in terms of the matchups in this series do you think the Al Horford-Brook Lopez matchup is?
That's pretty big. It's very high on the list because Al's a very unique guy to try and guard. And generally speaking, you're often talking about the guys that are really difficult, the bigs that make things very difficult on the other side. And then Al is usually someone who is not only just such an elite defensive player and still doesn't really get credit for that, but he's a guy that can spread the floor. And the NBA has changed. And now Lopez, it's more amazing to me how Lopez has changed into not, it's just a reliable three-point shooter. Aaron Baines can make threes, but he's never going to be a 40% three-point shooter, and teams are still going to roll the dice. You can't really roll the dice with Lopez. He's become that good at it for a guy who didn't even take threes. It wasn't like he was a bad three-point shooter when he was in Brooklyn, where he's the Nets' all-time leading scorer. He just never even took them, and now it's gone from that to completely evolving with the league.
Based on how the Celtics finished the season and how they sort of cruised through those four games, who does it hurt worse this layoff, Milwaukee or Boston? I mean, it's pretty much dead even as far as games played.
Yeah, it's dead even, especially when you've got significant injuries on both sides that you're kind of you want the clock to drag out. I don't think there's really much hope of Marcus Smart coming back, but I think the Brogdon injury, which was very important, is one of those things. That's what's causing stress in Milwaukee because it's been one of those mystery injuries that they keep saying, well, he should be, he'll be back for the playoffs. Well, he'll be back at some point in the first round. Well, he'll be back at some, and now obviously ruled out for the first two games in Milwaukee. So that's a significant concern because that is, that's just a dude that is a playoff player, is a fourth quarter guy, makes big shots. He's killed the Celtics with big shots, and that's a significant loss. And, you know, the great irony of the Pacers not having Oladipo with the Celtics not having Smart, that would, you know, not even things up to some degree if they didn't have a key player like that as this series goes on.
You know, when the Celtics beat Milwaukee in the regular season, they did it from shooting outside. Do you think that's going to be a part of their game plan in this series?
I think one of the most fascinating things, game plan-wise, about this series, and this is something I guarantee we'll be talking about this next week, is you look at these two coaches, look at the all the different variables and potential matchups and potential for adjustment is always a big word, right? It's a buzzword during a playoff series. If you're Nate McMillan, what adjustments could you have possibly made? He didn't have the cards to play. Mike Budenholzer and Brad Stevens are both very good that way. They both have a lot of different clubs in the bag, and you're talking about multiple games in this series where there's 3 days in between games. There's a big footprint of this series. Game seven is the Monday night. It's like 2 weeks from Monday. So there's going to be a ton of – is three-point shooting going to be significant? Of course it is. I mean, it's going to be, you know, who's going to make those shots, make or miss league, all that. But I think one of the really fascinating things about the series is that I think the games themselves are going to look much – you know, three is going to look much different than one. Five is going to look much different than three because you're giving two coaches who have a ton of – elements and a ton of different ways, ton of different recipes they can cook up a lot of times to do a lot of time to do the cooking.
Who do you stick on Giannis first, and is it going to be a, you know, a combination of guys to sort of attempt to slow the guy down? I know you can't stop him.
Absolutely. It'll be a combination, not just a combination of guys. People say, well, who's going to be the guy guarding? It's not just a combination of guys. It's possession to possession.
Yeah.
It's when do you double team? It's one of those things, you know, go back to the olden days of sports dominance, right? The Green Bay Packers, they had the sweep, right? The Green Bay Packers sweep. You knew it was coming. You couldn't stop it. The Giannis recipe, what to do, is not complicated to understand. As Kenny Smith put it so very well on TNT, it's a version of the kind of stuff we've been saying for the last couple of years. 15, 18 feet from the basket beyond, he's Clark Kent. Once he gets inside the free throw line, he's Superman, and you can't stop him. So it's going to be multiple guys, and where does he get the ball? And can you stop him from – I've never seen anybody get to the rim. He gets to the rim in one stride from the free throw line. And that's why he said since they've been keeping track of dunks, he had more this year than anybody's ever had. So he is just a dominant force. And, again, one of the reasons why they are not the team they were last year between Giannis and the guy that, to me – as an athlete, when you lose, people move on. You forget last year's series, right? You know who didn't forget last year's series and has been living with it for a year? Eric Bledsoe has. And he is. It's funny because he doesn't have the same matchup with Rozier. Obviously, he's got to deal with Kyrie. But this moment, this series has been driving Eric Bledsoe, the specter of getting a second chance against Boston for a year. He was great in the first round against Detroit. And he right now, to me, is the wild card in the series.
We're talking with Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics. Celtics getting ready for their series against the Milwaukee Bucks. We talked to Brad Stevens the other day. He didn't really want to go down this road with us. But does it appear to you that Kyrie Irving is more engaged and is enjoying himself more than maybe we've ever seen him enjoy himself in a Celtics uniform?
I think that's certainly fair, even back to the final few weeks of the regular season. But I think this is – everybody lives for different things. And I think a normal human being loses a smile a little bit when things start going uphill. And it's more difficult, and it's harder, and there's more pressure. A natural human reaction is to enjoy that less. Kyrie Irving is not a normal human being. He likes it harder. He likes road games in the playoffs. He likes the postseason. He likes the stage, and he performs better on it. So I think that plays into it, too, that this is what he's been, you know, this is a prime time guy, and it is finally prime time.
I'm glad you talked about Kyrie because we had Jason Tatum on our show the other day and we asked him, did you learn from last year where it seemed like maybe you were gassed in the regular season to where you could kick it back a little this year? And it seems like he's sort of elevating, and he even said, hey, when guys like Kyrie play, we know we got to step it up. Do you see the same thing with Tatum taking
it
to that next level?
And I do. I saw a second year in a league where defenses, this is an oversimplification, there's a combination of defense adjusting. And I think when the story of the season is written, there's going to be the human element of a lot of guys whose names you can figure out who came off a lot of success in the playoffs last year at a very young age and spent the summer listening to how great they were and how they were the favorites in the Eastern Conference and how they were going to play Golden State in the finals. And I think there's a natural element not realizing how difficult it can be to do that again, particularly when, as we've discussed, last year, which is a subject of great romanticism among Celtic fans, and it should be, you don't want to pull too many threads on last year because it was a team that basically played 500 basketball in the second half of the year and got some significant breaks, barely got by Milwaukee. People remember a seventh game against Milwaukee. The first game, that was a fingernail game. Game one that they won in overtime of that series. It could easily have gone the other way. The Philadelphia series had three very close games in it that could have gone the other way. It could have been 4-1 Philadelphia. And, you know, people remember, oh, game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals. It was an amazing accomplishment for that team. But like the 16-game winning streak early in the year, again, don't pull too many threads on that with guys being out and getting lucky bounces and coming from 28 down to win games. It was an amazing year as a fan to watch. But I think there were some things that needed to be better, and that combined with Kyrie coming back and Gordon Hayward coming back and a slow start and all the pressure and the expectations, maybe we shouldn't have been a surprise. Things were as difficult as they were for Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier and a lot of guys.
Sean, final one for you. Obviously, the Celtics family suffered a loss last night with John Havlicek passing away. Your thoughts on his legacy?
I think your thoughts are defined by your age in so many ways, and you know, I was pretty much too young to ever really see him play. And so my memories of John Havlicek are when he would come and visit, when he was around. I'm sure Max and I had him on the air a couple of times, you know, in the early years when he would come back more often. And my memory of him is just this extraordinary gentleman. And to the point where I think that has maybe hurt his legacy as just how dominant, how good a player he was. One of the leading scorers in the history of the league. Celtics all-time leading scorer. Seventh most points for any player for one team in the history of the league. And, I mean, eight championships. And yet, I think if you're of a certain age or below, and particularly connected to the Celtics, you just think of him as this extraordinary gentleman and ambassador who was, when you talk to the people who played with him, like Tommy, and you talk to the people that played against him, then you realize that he was as good a player as he was a man, and that's an extraordinary accomplishment.
Celtics open up their series Sunday in Milwaukee. It will start with a 1 o'clock tip locally, noontime tip in Milwaukee. So get up early out there, okay, Sean? Get your coffee, be ready to go.
3 inches of snow in the forecast for Saturday night in Milwaukee.
And that too. Well, enjoy your trip to Milwaukee. City. I hear it's beautiful there this time of year.
Yeah, Max will bring his skis. We'll get some stuff done. It'll be a blast.
All right, Sean. Have a good call, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
See you guys.
Sean Grandy with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We've got a special treat for you coming up next. A special off-season edition of Read and React. Draft edition of Read and React. And don't forget, we've got Bruins tickets. We're giving them away for game two at 11:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
It's time to rage.
Did you see Phil running away from the? Excuse me.
Oh Jesus!
And react.
You don't think you could have beat off that shark
with Zolak and Bertrand?
Sanitarium
on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
It's time now for Read and React. Is that hot?
Got to do some shark talk, too, coming up.
Ready?
Today?
Ready?
Beat that shark off.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Three.
You can drop donos.
Yeah. All right. Draft edition. Read and react.
Oh,
go.
Wow.
What's going on?
That was the wrong one. This is weird. Okay. Let's try it again.
Here we go.
Three.
I'm fucking the radio station back and forth.
There we go.
Ken.
Blow the dust off,
yes.
Hardy.
Let's get him going. That's new.
We start with the Giants pick of quarterback Daniel Jones. Here's the reaction from the Giants draft party inside the stadium. Here we go.
In the 2019 NFL draft, the New York Giants select Daniel Jones.
This poor kid.
My favorite comment on that, and what it was a woman who says, Yeah, you can figure out what she's saying there. It sounds like she's falling off a cliff.
That's the greatest.
That was my favorite reaction on Twitter. Someone goes, is she falling out of the second deck? Did she just throw herself out of the 300 level when they made that pick?
It's so good.
This kid's greatest night. I feel bad for him because he's going to hear it. And here's what people have to do. They got to get the Donovan McNabb tape. When McNabb was drafted and Philly went nuts, you suck now, boo! And McNabb ended up taking him to the Super Bowl. It's a good quarterback for them. What's his name? McCagden?
Daniel
Gettleman?
Jones.
The GM.
Oh. Gettleman.
Dave Gettleman.
Gettleman. All he had to do was watch our show the other day when players off the board.
When we took him off the board.
Players off the board.
Daniel Jones.
Do you know what the Eagles wanted?
17.
Do you know what the Eagles wanted that year instead of McNabb? They wanted Ricky Williams.
Yeah. This kid would have been there at 17. They could have got a huge defensive tackle, and they still could have got this guy at 17.
All right, so we live, gentlemen, in what I like to call the age of technological indulgence.
Yeah.
You know, you can get your stuff out there, you know, in a lot of forms. Normally it's bad. Instances like this, it's good. So we have the live fan reaction of just some dude watching at home.
On his couch.
Yeah, here it is.
No! Why would you do that? You're so stupid!
Karen! Why would you do that? That's all the money we had in the world! Why would you do that?
Karen, where's the stuff?
They would have found it! They would have never found it! Karen, why would you do that?
Gentlemen, what are you doing? What are you doing? You have Dwayne Haskins there. You have Josh Allen. Josh Allen's going to be in a gold jacket. No. No, dude. Why? Why? We're going to lose every game forever.
It's okay. It's going to be every
game. That was worth $60,000, Karen.
We're never going to win another game again. This guy sucks.
We're dead. We're dead.
So New York sucks.
He plays football. He should be on Wall Street.
Okay. You know, if I would have taken a job as a New York Giant, when the Giants offered me the job in football, you know, to run to be part runner of a football team, I'd have built it with defense. Like old guy like Lawrence Taylor.
Whatever no! Pops out.
Yeah. You draft defense. Six. Sorry.
Or if you're going to draft a quarterback, you know when to draft him? Last year. When you drafted a running back.
I think they were wrong for taking Murray.
You.
Giants.
Okay.
Stupid team.
So here's Dave Gettleman answering for himself on picking Jones.
I loved him on film. Absolutely loved him. Loved everything about him. And then I went to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
He walked out there and I saw a professional quarterback.
I'm sorry, what?
Imagine what this guy, he walked out there. Now, imagine what this guy would have done if...
Was that Chuck and Southie calling in, or was that an NFL GM?
That was Pasta Joe from the Avengers
Pasta
movies.
Yeah. Quarterback.
He walked out there, and I saw a professional quarterback.
Imagine if this guy was around.
Quarterback.
Imagine if this guy was around when Marino walked out pulling up his pants with his hair out and his shirt cut. And
after a quarterback walks. After the three series that I watched.
Oh, how many series did he watch?
Three. Watched three series. That was enough. He was convinced.
Three series of an all-star game where nobody's tackling.
After the three series that I watched, I saw a professional quarterback.
Quarterback.
So that's when I was in full bloom love.
Well, Jesus.
I was in
full
love.
Blown
went,
love.
As they
full
say.
Full blown love. He blew
full
it.
Full blown love.
He blew it all right.
He blew love.
So that's when I was in full bloom love.
Full bloom love.
Bleef blower.
In the,
that's Tony from Shirley. Bleef blower.
I arranged myself.
I like Dave Gettleman for this reason. He's got a Boston accent that's going extinct.
What accent is that? What part? What region?
He's
sure
he
of the
grew up
city?
In Mattapan, but it's just
a Mattapan accent.
Yeah, it's just, well, no, it's not a Mattapan accent per se. It's just an old school Boston accent that you're not hearing as much anymore.
Well, it could be. I mean, there's a Dorchester accent. There's a like Southie
Paulie.
Accent.
Kind of like Paulie, a little bit like
I was
Paulie.
In full bloom love.
I arranged myself into a position in the animal kingdom they refer to as presenting.
Full bloom love.
I presented myself to him.
All right,
let's move on.
Okay.
Breathe.
What do you think, Ethan?
Oh, I don't know. React.
Broncos took tight end Noah Font in the first round. Talked about his new quarterback.
Oh,
right away.
What do you think it'll be like playing with Joe Flacco?
I think it's going to be amazing. You know, Joe Flacco's a Super Bowl quarterback. He's an NFL legend. So I'm super excited to get to work. And
is he elite?
Oh, excuse me?
You know, hopefully catch a lot of passes from him.
But is he elite?
There you go. Don't hate him saying that.
No, good.
That's a young guy who knows his place.
That's all right.
He's ready to report for duty and listen to his quarterback.
And go back and watch all of the Raven tapes when they started to kill New England. What did they do? They fed the tight end. They fed the ball to the tight end. Flacco loves throwing off the back foot when he's under duress and finding a tight end. This kid could have a lot of catches if he just hooks up with him. Start kissing his ass,
yes,
kid.
Yes, young guy!
React.
Finally. This might take some time.
Okay.
As most local news stories do.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
What? From the local Fox affiliate in Nashville.
Oh.
Some people didn't know the draft was happening this week.
What?
There were people in Nashville didn't know the NFL draft was going on.
Ah, the sound of bachelorettes in Nashville. It's a sound we all know well. But this weekend, this is turning to this.
Okay. What?
Oh, what were they doing last night?
You're grunting.
Something left them very upset.
Does that feel good or does it feel bad?
Speaking of presenting.
Let me hear it again.
Strange wave of constipation has swept through Nashville.
As the NFL closes streets, pushes pedal taverns off Broadway, and brings in hundreds of thousands of football fans infiltrating bachelorette party headquarters.
And it just changes, like, the crowd, like, what you're here for. Like, I don't want to hang out with a bunch of football guys. Nope. Like, I'm good. I already have to watch football on Sundays. I don't need to see any more of that.
What, that's not a bunch of hot young dudes coming down for the draft?
Probably.
So she's forced
to be, like, you know, a bunch of guys that look like models showing up for the NFL draft.
She's forced to watch football? So all of a sudden, there are bachelorettes that are getting engaged to men that are probably football watchers, and, well, honey, what are you going to Nashville for? The draft's there.
Because they didn't know the draft was there.
Think the fiancés didn't know? They probably laughed their ass off. They're going here. They can't get any bars.
And did you realize that the NFL draft was going to be here?
No.
No idea. Like, mind blown when we landed.
We had no idea.
No idea.
No idea.
When do they start planning the draft? Because I feel like I just found out about this.
Well, they just started planning it on Monday.
A couple of years ago.
Next one's in Vegas, honey.
But in the end,
the person that's going to pay for this is my husband when I refuse to watch football the entire season.
Oh! Well, that'll show him.
Your poor husband!
I'm sure he's going to be pissed.
What will he ever do?
You're going to really show him.
You really showed him.
I'm not watching football with you on Sundays. You're kidding me.
Oh, my God.
What did I do?
We should have got married 5 years ago.
You should go every year.
How did that happen?
Like, I'm talking no Super Bowl.
No.
Because
This gets better and better. Oh, my God. Seriously?
I'll tell you what.
Wait, you're going to make this you know what? Work it into your wedding vows, then. You promise. You love, honor, obey, and not watch football with me ever again until death do us part.
I'll tell you what. I think you should hold this over into the 2020 season, too.
You get married once.
Yep.
How often does the draft happen?
Every freaking year.
Every year.
What?
They're pissed?
I
mean, you only get married.
And actually, no, you can get 50%
married. 50% of marriages end in a divorce.
You only get married once, yeah, if you're in that half of the
population. And, by the way, it has nothing to do with women watching football. I watch games with my wife all the time. You want to know why? She doesn't feel forced to do it. When she wants to watch, she does. When she doesn't, she doesn't.
I'm not going
to
watch football with him now.
It's like, he's in trouble. You have to watch that.
Are we going to have nachos?
No, I don't
have lemonade.
I don't want to watch a game with anybody who doesn't want to be watching it.
No kidding.
Male or female.
Hey,
That doesn't enter into it. Why are you sitting down and watching it if you don't want to watch it? Go do something else.
Yeah. Oh, you know what she sounds like? Sounds like, remember that?
What are they going to do?
Remember that beauty contest?
Yes, I do. That was a good one.
Iraqis and you know, for America. And I'm not going to watch football.
Oh, that's right. Education.
Yes. Yes. All right. Such as.
React.
That is Reed.
Good job, Hardy.
Thank you, Hardy. Excellent work. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, T-Bone.
Nice job.
Appreciate it. 617-779-0985. We will get to your calls coming up next. But also, we are giving away a pair of tickets to Game 2. Bruins Blue Jackets. That is right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hear me flow. Won't you hear me flow now?
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. That is the contest line. Call the right number. We want you to have a chance to win. You call the regular number, you're just DQing yourself.
Yeah.
617-931-0985. It's the Pride Motor Group contest line. Oh. Caller 10 will score a pair of tickets to be at the Garden tomorrow night for Game 2 as the Bruins take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Woo! In their pursuit of the Stanley Cup. Puck will drop at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Select tickets are available right now at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. But if you're caller 10, we've got a pair for you right now on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's do it.
Want to hear a quick follow-up on Dave Gettleman? A small piece of his post-game.
Yeah.
It the post-game, post-draft press conference.
So really, the man that runs and handpicks things for the Giants.
Like Nick Caserio last night holding one for the Patriots?
Yeah.
Just a quick snippet of him last night.
During the season, I had gone to see Dwayne at Ohio State. I had gone to see, I had seen Kyler and Will play each other in that.
That was a good game.
Friday night game, Thanksgiving weekend. That was in West Virginia.
Phenomenal game.
So I'd seen those two play each other. I'd seen Dwayne play in the Big 12. Is that the Big 12 anymore? I don't even know. The championship game. You know, in Indianapolis. So I've seen those three guys play. And to me, it's really important that you see quarterbacks play.
I don't have a problem with it. I have zero problem with that. He's telling you, I saw him play at Ohio State. I actually went to West Virginia to watch Will Greer play Kyler Murray. So he's playing in a championship game in Indianapolis. What conference is it anymore? Are they still in the Big 10, Big 12? They restructure conferences and teams jump so much. I don't know who's in the ACC anymore. I don't know who's in the Big East. I have no clue. Every single team in the Big Ten.
Who has better defenses, Big Ten or Big 12?
Big Ten.
Off the top of your head, you know that, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't know what conference is which.
I understand that. I just think he slipped up. I don't think that's condemning.
Not only that. It is. I'll tell you why.
Why?
If you were going to make a controversial pick, wouldn't you get your ducks in a row and how you were going to explain it when you stepped to the podium later that night?
I would, yeah.
And you were going to have to explain why you didn't take other quarterbacks on the board?
See, the problem is
he's
trying to make it look good.
Dwayne Haskins being that guy?
He went too deep. Don't dig so deep. Be vague. You know, don't.
No.
Don't try and oversell how many quarterbacks you went after and looked at.
How about be prepared for what you know will be the question?
Yeah,
why him and not the others?
We talked to Cutcliffe. We talked to all these quarterback gurus. We love Daniel Jones. Jim, what's
the
one thing?
Don't say three series put you over the top on Daniel Jones.
Right.
Three series.
That's more problematic for me. That's where I saw him walk in the Senior Bowl. Yeah, when Dan Marino walks in, head spin, okay? That guy looks like a quarterback. What was your number one concern when, what's his name, N'Keal Harry? N'Keal, right?
It's not open, yeah.
What, no,
he looks covered all the time.
Covered by who? What kind of DBs?
Pac-12 corners.
Thank you. Pac-12 corners. My man, Jim Louth, who produces our midday show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, already knows the competition that the Patriots' number one draft pick is going to face or has faced, and it was big Pac-12 corners, which is a downgrade from the Big Ten corners or SEC corners, right? Jim Louth is smarter than this guy.
No, you know what? It leads to the whole storyline that the Mannings told him to take him. So he took him.
Yeah.
All this stuff just furthers that storyline. The more he talks, the more you would you'd believe that the Mannings just said, you need to pick this guy.
Yeah, and it's so funny because even Eli the last 2 weeks, I know they're going to pick a quarterback. It's fine, but I know I need to play too. And, yeah, competition's good for everyone. Like, he's so okay with them picking this guy.
What better way than to tell your guy to pick a crap quarterback?
Yeah, you know what Brady would do? Brady would go nuts.
Well, the Mannings don't have a history of, like, steering a quarterback to New York City, right, at all.
Not at all.
Like a guy that's picked by the Chargers and then you got to trade him to New York City.
Okay, but that's serving their interests. This would not serve their interests.
It serves their interest because they're in business with Cutcliffe at Duke.
Yeah.
They run their passing camps in Cutcliffe and Duke, and he's their quarterback coach. And you want more quarterbacks to be filtered through that system?
Yeah, but it also directly impacts Eli. If this kid's good, Eli's out the door. They're moving on.
Eli's probably out the door next year anyways.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. 617-779-0985. Let's do this. We haven't gotten to any calls today.
Oh.
We had some phone issues early. But why don't we come back on the other side of these headlines in 90 seconds and get to some of those calls, okay? So stand by.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.